Greg Chappell's cricketing career stands as one of the most successful this country's ever seen. The middle brother of Australia's great cricketing Chappell family, Greg captained Australia from 1975 to 77 before controversially joining World Series cricket. As if we could forget that. After the dust settled from that stoush, Greg was again captain from 1979 until his retirement in 1983. He was an exceptional all-rounder, bowling medium pace to great effect, but it was his batting skill that made him stand out. His debut test was in December 1970 at the Wacker in Perth.
Imagine what must be going through his mind, a player making his first appearance in a test match, and of course against England. Shuttleworth bowling to Chappell. And he get it there, he'll get 2 runs, this is his 100, he's coming back for 2, and the boys are coming from everywhere. Greg Chappell scores 100 in his first test match, the first innings of his first test, and look at these kids, there's literally thousands of them tearing out onto the ground. The umpires have had to come in to protect the bails, and somewhere in the middle of that milling throng is Greg Chappell.
First century, first test. Greg Chappell, good morning. Do you remember that moment?
Good morning, Fran. Yes, I do. It's a distant memory these days, but still a fond memory.
Really distant? I mean, do you recall every century you ever made?
No, I could probably sort of dredge them up if I had to, but no, I don't. I think, you know, it was interesting, the commentator there, and I think it was Drew Morfitt was the commentator in that piece there. Saying what was going through his mind, all what's going through my mind at that stage was don't stuff it up. Having got this far, you might as well try and finish it off.
It's interesting you talk about what's going through your mind, or Drew did there, because Fierce Focus is the name of the book, and your concentration at the crease was legendary. It was talked about, your sort of ferocious kind of focus at the crease. And you describe a moment in the book which stands out still in your mind early on in your test career, when your dad gave you an article from the Advertiser, the Adelaide Advertiser, and you realised how your mental state was crucial. Tell us about that realisation.
Yeah, look, up until to that stage, I hadn't really thought about it. Obviously, I had some sort of process going on, particularly on the good days. And I was down in Tasmania, and no mobile phones and no emails in those days. So Dad sent me a cutting from the Adelaide Advertiser that arrived by snail mail, and I recognised the handwriting. Opened it. It was an article by Keith Butler, who was the cricket writer at the Advertiser, and it was a fair hiding. He'd given me a real bit of stick for wasting my talent, getting starts and not going on with it. So very cleverly, my father hadn't used his own words. He just wrote on the bottom of the thing, I don't believe everything Keith has to say, but it might be worth thinking about. So instead of going out to dinner that night, I sat in my room and I thought about every game of cricket I'd ever played. And the realisation came to me that there was a very big difference between the good days and the bad days with what was going on in my head. So the realisation came then that was the most important part of it. If I could manage that environment much better. The other thing that came to me that day was that I'd got myself out 9 times out of 10 every time I'd played, and that it wasn't going to change. So the thing that I had to do was delay the inevitable.
And you worked it out. I mean, you worked out that really your job, your task, was to concentrate ball by ball. You didn't have to concentrate the whole innings, the whole time you're out on the pitch, just for those moments, ball by ball. Is that something you then tried to pass on? You know, you must have mentored, or you certainly captained a lot of players and coached a lot of players.
Yeah, I talk about it a lot.
Is that a key message?
Oh, it's a huge message, because the ones who survive are the ones who work that out in some shape or form, that it's not about the physical, it's about the mental. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, a friend once asked me, you know, what's the longest time you've concentrated for on the cricket field? And I thought about it and I said, about half an hour. He said, but I've seen you bat all day. And I said, but I only really concentrate for seconds at a time. So if you face, you know, 100 balls a day, it's only, you know, a couple of hundred seconds that you've actually really concentrated for. In fact, the important part is the downtime between balls, being able to relax mentally so you don't wear yourself out in the first half an hour that you're out on the pitch.
A bit of meditation might help.
Well, it's a form of meditation. I mean, it's very zen-like once you sort of work it all out.
You learned to focus early, having Ian Chappell as an older brother, giving you and your younger brother Trevor no quarter in pretty ferocious-sounding competitive backyard cricket games. I know you've written about it a bit. You described those test series and how they helped you later on. And we've had Steve Kinnane on the program too. He documented the Chappell's backyard cricket games.
Yes.
They were incredibly and hilariously intense, by all accounts.
Very, very intense. And, you know, look, unfortunately, our father passed away soon after I finished playing Test cricket and long before I started coaching, but I would love to have sat down with him as a coach and asked him what he really understood about it in those days, because he got so much right, it couldn't have been by accident. And, you know, he insisted that we play with a hard ball. He insisted that we played seriously, whether we were in the backyard, on the beach, or in a cricket match. And having a brother 5 years older, bigger and stronger, I got a real workout in the backyard. And I didn't enjoy it a lot at the time. I mean, I enjoyed the contest. And a really important part of it, and Steve Kinnane's book does talk about this, is that those backyard test matches, that early environment, is so critical to what the adult becomes. And I realised, looking back on it, you know, all the hours that I'd spent in the backyard learning to cope with getting beaten by my older brother was really important.
And sledged.
And I joked years later when someone asked me about Test cricket, I said, look, after the backyard Test matches, real Test cricket was a piece of cake.
Your era was one of great characters, Dougie Walters, Dennis Lilly, Jeff Thompson. These were huge, colourful characters. Mm. Does the game of cricket lack something at the moment, do you think? And how much of this, I guess it's the two sides of professionalism, because you also say in the book how you lost some of those cricketers, great cricketers, because they couldn't earn enough money playing cricket. Yes. Now that's different, of course, but some of the colour seems to have faded.
Well, I think because cricket was a pastime for us, we were perhaps a little bit more carefree about it. We were still very serious about it on the field, but I think we were a bit more relaxed around the game, because if we got dropped, it wasn't the end of our career. Most of us had a job to go to, and you know, cricket was really a bit of fun that we had in between going to work, whereas now it is their job. And I think it is a lot harder for them to be more carefree about it, because it's a big business.
Your career has had its fair share of controversial moments, and despite all the magnificent innings, you know, your first 100 and on you went, the handy wickets, all those catches. The name Chappell will also be associated for all time with that underarm ball against New Zealand. Now, you say at that time you're in no fit state to captain Australia. What do you mean by that?
Oh, look, it's a long story. It wasn't something that happened just on the spur of the moment. This had been building up because of a lot that was going on around the game at that time. We'd just come off World Series cricket. A lot of the problems that World Series cricket had happened because of really hadn't been solved by World Series cricket by the time everyone came back together. All it had done was change the format and the pace of the game and all of those sort of things, but there were still not a lot of support structures around the team. And as the Australian captain at the time, I was the focal point for just about anything and everything that was going on around cricket, let alone Australian cricket. So the demands on the time of the captain were enormous. And thankfully, out of that, we've developed systems and structures where the captain gets a lot more support than was going on at that stage. And I was exhausted mentally and physically on that day, frustrated with a whole lot of things that I talk about in the book. And that was my protest in the end. Well, this is what I think of the whole lot of it. The fact is that New Zealand couldn't win the game. They needed six to tie the game. So there was a whole lot of stuff that was going on. I will never know, so no one else has got any idea whether it would have been different had there been another bowler than Trevor, or if, in fact, New Zealand could have won the game, whether I would have done it differently. But it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I hadn't thought about it before it happened, and I knew when I made that decision that it wouldn't be well-received. I didn't expect to be still talking about it 30 years later.
30 years later. Mm. Just briefly to the here and now, a new Australian coach, South African Mickey Arthurs, the first non-Australian coach of the Australian Test team. You, of course, were a non-Indian bloke trying to coach India. Have you got any lessons or helpful advice to pass on to Mickey? I mean, it's a global game, no issue, I suppose, with being from a different nation.
No. But look, he's an experienced coach. He's coached South Africa before. I don't think there's going to be that much difference. You don't want someone learning on the job in that role. It really is a demanding role, very much a full-time role. Mickey's you know, a decent fellow. He's worked in the Australian system for 12 or 15 months. He understands it. I don't think there'll be any dramas. The players will react to him well. He's a good fellow, and he knows what he's doing.
Greg, it's been a long career with lots of highs and lows. We could talk about it for ages, but I guess everyone's got to go and buy the book. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Greg Chappell and Fierce Focus, the story of his cricketing life, is published by Hardy Grant. You're listening to Breakfast. It's 8:22.